underling, but as a global leader in his own right. So he waited. Plus, he had a message to deliver. Election season would soon be heating up, he told Gorbachev when the pair finally made their way into the back of the Soviet limousine for the short drive across downtown Washington. Only a translator rode with them. They had met 2 years before, though only briefly, during the funeral for Gorbachev's predecessor. Bush had been to many Soviet funerals over the years, and they were always hectic affairs. This was their first time alone. The campaign would be filled with strong, hard-line statements from all kinds of sources about U.S.-Soviet relations, he noted. Gorbachev should not pay too close attention. The Soviet leader didn't seem to be paying attention now, either. Instead, he was fixated on the teeming crowd chanting his name. Bush plowed on, recalling one of Chinese leader Mao Zedong's favorite phrases, and one of his own after serving as Washington's chief diplomat in Beijing more than a decade before. Deriding empty cannons of rhetoric, Bush warned Gorbachev not to take his campaign statements too seriously. He would have to say and do all sorts of things to get elected. This was how things were done in America. Politicians played to the crowd. Gorbachev nodded, but continued to stare silently into the masses of humanity just outside the car. Bush wondered if perhaps the translator had delivered the message incorrectly. He wondered if Gorbachev was even listening at all. Suddenly the Russian leaned forward. "Stop the car," Gorbachev ordered his driver. Tires screeched. The limousine's doors flew open, and Gorbachev threw himself directly into the nearest throng. Soviet and American security personnel screamed into their handsets and scrambled to catch up. Before Bush truly knew what was happening, his companion was engulfed by the ecstatic mob. Gorbachev smiled and shook hands like a man who had been kissing babies and wooing voters his entire life. In a flash, he was at Gorbachev's side, lest he fail to appear in photos sure to run in the next day's newspapers. "Do you do this a lot?" Bush gasped when the two finally tumbled back into the safe confines of their car. Flush with adrenaline, Gorbachev nodded. "Leaders should be equal to the people," he said. His twinkling gray eyes told Bush that Soviet leaders could be unpredictable, and that they too could deliver messages. It was not an auspicious beginning to their relationship. Neither man truly heard the other. Each, instead, seemed primarily interested in proving his own importance. Like new rivals in a schoolyard, the world's largest, they seemed interested most of all in intimidation. Their relationship would in time help ease the world through one of the 20th century's most perilous periods. Within a year, Bush would be president. Within two, the Cold War would effectively be over. Within three, the Soviet Union would be gone, and European communism with it. No one was predicting these events in 1987, and it was unthinkable that they might be accomplished with little bloodshed. Empires rarely ceded power gracefully. Collapsing great powers typically leave wars in their wake. Plus, the Soviets were different. Empires had risen and fallen for millennia. Never before in human history had a great power broken apart with more than 20,000 nuclear weapons in its midst, enough firepower to end all of human life. There were no helpful precedents for what Bush eventually faced as president, and no guarantees it would all end well. He governed during remarkable times. It is hard to believe that so much of consequence could occur in a single 4-year presidential term. The Berlin Wall fell. Democracy took root behind the Iron Curtain. Germany, divided since World War II, reunited. The Soviet Union surrendered, revolted, and then ceased to exist. Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, East Germany, and Poland all threw out socialism and their Soviet overlords. Romanians did so violently. Yugoslavians descended into outright civil war. Some of the others came perilously close to violent eruptions. China did erupt, roiled by a democratic surge and its violent suppression. During this same period, Bush ordered American forces into Panama to remove a dictator, into Somalia to prevent a famine, and into the Middle East at the head of a massive international coalition formed to repel Iraq's invasion of Kuwait. It was the largest American military expedition since Vietnam, which remains true at this writing. Closer to home, his administration largely concluded negotiations for a North American Free Trade Association, joining the continent economically as never before, while on the other side of the Atlantic, preliminary talks for expansion of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization began to shape.